Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to Bee's Nest Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. We are sponsored today by Still Nobody. So weird. It's only my second episode and I haven't been just buried in all kinds of brands getting at me. Feel free to though. We're on Twitter. You can follow me at the Bianca T or at Bee's Nest Podcast. Let me know about your brand. I'll probably hawk it. I don't really have any values, integrity, not here. Again, you're listening to Bee's Nest Podcast. And today on the show, we have a very dear friend of mine, Amira De Vera. She's an entertainment publicist. She's the owner of Project 4 PR. And we're going to be talking about PR. What is it? PR 101. She's going to teach me about it because I have no idea. I actually worked in PR for a little bit and I still couldn't tell you all the ins and outs of it. So she's going to let us know about that. I'm going to toss a few imaginary, but very real celebrity problems at her. She's going to give me her best PR fixes. Then we're going to talk about how she started her business, Project 4. What is it? What does it do? She's going to tell me the weirdest writer request she has ever gotten from a client. And then at the very end of the show, we're going to talk about getting over a breakup because we've all been through it. We're all going to go through it. And she's going to give us some of her favorite things that she's done during this breakup, what she's done to help herself get through it, move on. She looks amazing, by the way. She did one of those breakup haircuts. I don't know. She got like a freaking breakup tan. It's a pandemic. No one's going anywhere. Somehow it looks like she set up shop in Aruba and has been there ever since. That might be where she's recording from today. We have no idea. But that's who's going to be on the show. Amira, it's going to be amazing. Thank you so much again for tuning in. So we have Amira here. Hey, girl. Hello.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. First of all, I'm so proud of you for doing this because I personally could listen to you talk for hours. So I'm very happy to be a part of this.
Thank you so much. I will be talking for hours. So you'll get your wish. So Yes. Give me a little bit of a background about your company, PR 101.
PR 101. Okay, so to give you a background about my company, basically I am an entertainment publicist. So my company is focused on representing entertainment type of clients, which means I represent actors, singers, musicians, authors, directors, you name it, people within the entertainment industry. And my job is basically to A, get their name out there and get their stories out there, but also to make sure that, you know, their reputation is good in the public eye and that their name is, looks good to the public. We, like as publicists, as public relations professionals, our job is to basically use the media as a way for them to be able to tell their stories to the public. So our job is basically to make people famous. That's really it in a nutshell. But at the same time, our job is also to make sure that we control the messaging of what goes out there to the public. So really, we are kind of the gatekeeper of their reputation and to make sure that whatever messaging is going out there, it's all very controlled in a way where it favors them in a good light.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of a huge celebrity that has amazing PR?
I always use her as an example, like always, but Oprah is clearly like the number one example of like someone with an amazing PR reputation and just reputation in general. I think because she's so authentic as a person. She always has been from the very beginning since her like early days of like being a talk show host. She's someone who's always put who she is in front of the public. And I think whoever is part of her PR team, that's all they have to do is basically take this like, you know, brand that is Oprah, get it out to the public and just keep and maintain her reputation. But I mean, she is such a good person. She obviously isn't only like a talented journalist, but she's also like a good human in general. So anything you hear about Oprah, you're going to hear something good associated with Oprah. Like you never hear anything bad. So I think it's a mix of both. I think she has great people in her team, which has to do a lot with her because of who she surrounds herself with, but she's also a great person. So I don't think it's that hard to promote someone who's like a great person. So she's one. And obviously Queen Beyonce. She's great. I mean, she's great, period. But she's always been really good at handling the bad press that surrounds her. I mean, I love this direction that she's going in as well, in terms of just like how she promotes her projects. She doesn't even tell anybody. She doesn't tell her fans. She doesn't tell anyone. She quietly does it, and then she'll release it like randomly. And it speaks for itself. So I think like she's just gone to the point where she just knows how to handle her image and her brand, and then she doesn't need all the press. The press kind of like just picks up the story based on the project that she's released. So I feel like she's good now.
So as a PR pro, you have a lot of clients. They all get up to all the things that they get up to. Mm-hmm. What would one of your clients have to do in order for you to dump them? Like, they don't need to be at like Charlie Sheen's level back when he was on Tiger Blood. But what are your levels of like, okay, this one I can help you through. This one we're getting a little dicey. Here's the point where I leave you.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. So, I mean, I've been doing this for almost 12 years. So I feel like now I kind of have like that like sixth sense of like, I can smell a diva from a mile away situation. So when I meet with people, I'm like, oh gosh, this person's going to be way too demanding. I can't deal with this person. However, you also have people that you meet and then, you know, they seem fine in the beginning and then like they get to Hollywood, the ego gets too big and then you're like, what just happened? When people start to a demanding for things that are just unreasonable, that's when I kind of start questioning things. And by unreasonable, I mean things like, let's say we go to a media interview and they ask for like only white M&Ms, for example. Like their reputation is your reputation as a professional. So I've spent a long time building my relationships with journalists and with media outlets. If I bring someone who's an absolute disaster, has no respect for anyone, has no respect for people's time, that reflects on me.
I've also been on the other side of it where I took a job in PR for a hot second because I realized I did not have the stuff. And my biggest issue with it is that you guys you need to be so on top of journalists after a while. Even if they've agreed to do something, if they've agreed to speak to a client or to feature a client, you guys are the ones that need to keep up with them. And I would get so uncomfortable with a follow-up email. My emails would always read, so sorry to interrupt. Hi, it's me again, so sorry.
Hi, it's me.
And even after, you know, as you know, a PR person, you send that first pitch email. And if you don't get an answer, you follow up just to say, just checking in, if you have any room for this, let me know one way or the other, yes or no. It's fine to say no. After like the second follow-up, I'd say like, oh, I'm done. I can't send another one. I don't have it in me to be that person. And that's when I realized, I don't think this is the game for me. I don't think I have what it takes.
Well, you know, I mean, it takes a special type of personality to be able to be okay with that. And I mean, I used to call myself annoying. So I'm like, hello, it's me again. Hi, hello. But now it's just like, it's part of the job. It really is, because at the end of the day, you have to be persistent. And I've talked to some of my journalist friends and I've asked them in the past, I'm like, is it annoying to get emails from me every week or whatever? And they were actually really great at the feedback, because they said, you know, it's fine because you do it once a week. That's my rule. Follow up once a week. You can't be afraid to reach out and follow up, because sometimes literally the journalist just forgets, or they have 100 emails that they have to answer on a daily. So your email could be like number 101 and they just missed it.
Okay. So real quick, give me your number one do and your number one don't of PR.
Ooh. Okay. Number one do. I think I'm going to go back to this. I think it's a consistency, because I feel that's what made me very successful in the business, is like not being afraid to be consistent with my pitching, with my follow-ups. And that's how I get the answers. And that's how I get my clients booked on these media outlets. Don't, gosh, Don't send an email without triple, quadruple checking. No, I'm serious. Like, I still do it to this day, and I've been doing this for 12 years. Like, I've seen emails that go out with the wrong outlet, the wrong name, misspelled names, misspelled outlets, even their own client's name misspelled. So double, triple, quadruple check your emails, because that one email that you send sometimes means everything.
Yeah.
It can make or break you.
I've done that. That's a move. I did that very early in my career applying for a job. And I sent a follow-up like 10 seconds later, because that's when you spot it.
Of course.
You immediately spot that mistake the second you have pressed send.
Of course.
And I followed it up saying, okay, so as we both know, I clearly wrote the wrong name. But here I am admitting my mistake and owning up to it.
Good for you.
I did not get an interview.
That's okay. It's okay. One time I tried to book something on breakfast television. This was my first year of PR. Tried to book something on breakfast television. I called them, I think I called them like Global Morning or something like that. That was embarrassing.
We're going to test your public relations knowledge. And I'm going to ask you for your fixes. So I'm going to tell you a problem. I'm going to tell you a celebrity fuck up. And you're going to give me your PR spin. You're going to tell me how to fix it and maintain that person's integrity in the industry.
Okay.
All right. So
here we go.
I'm Ariana Grande. The year is 2015. I have just licked a donut and it is caught on tape. And everybody has watched me lick this donut in a bakery and leave it behind for someone else to purchase. Now, it's funny because hearing that now in our COVID time,
I know
you would have to burn that bakery to the ground.
I was literally just thinking that. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Yes. But let's pretend we're back in 2015. It's fine to lick other people's baked goods.
Is it?
But there's no deadly pandemic virus that is attacking the world. What is your PR fix for that?
Number one thing, don't wait. Just apologize right away. Don't make up excuses about why you did it. Just say you were in the wrong. And then here's the number one trick. Donate to a charity of some sort. Always refer it back to giving back, because it will make people just, you know, it will divert people's attention away from the disaster that you just made. So apologize, do something with charity, and then kind of lay low for a few days, a week or whatever. People will forget it and then you'll be fine.
Okay. I'm Vanessa Hudgens.
So beautiful.
Thank you. I know. I have just said that COVID is probably not a big deal. And if people die, they die. That's the way the world works.
Oh.
You are my publicist and you just saw the video that I posted on Instagram. What is your fix?
I mean, when this happened, I literally was like, her publicist must be about to jump off a balcony, because who in God's name says that in the middle of a pandemic where people are dying? Although, okay, here's the thing with Vanessa Hudgens. The way she and her publicist handled this particular situation, I was very impressed, because she did apologize right away. She said right away that what she said was insensitive and it's something that she needs to reflect on. I think she turned off the comments so that nobody could respond to it, which was actually a good idea. And then she laid low. She wasn't on Instagram for I think at least a couple of weeks, and then she came back and everyone forgot about it. And honestly, that was the best thing, because now, like, if you look at her Instagram, she's back to posting about her normal stuff. She's fine.
Okay. I'm Lori Loughlin.
Oh God.
I know most people need me to say Aunt Becky from Full House.
Yes.
And I have bribed university officials to allow my daughter to go to school. And I think she docked up transcripts as well.
Yes, she did.
Which, I mean, pretty creative. That's kind of impressive.
Oy, oy, oy.
Now, she's already going through the court system, so she is dealing with that on a police level.
Mm-hmm.
But as a PR person, I assume your client having to go to court over legal issues is never a good thing.
No.
So what is your PR fix?
This is very complicated. I think for cases like this, because there's so much to it, and like she's clearly in the very, very wrong in terms of what she did, but also legally, this is going to take some time. I think for this one, first of all, she needs to stay away from the press. She cannot do any press right now. I think she needs to take care of whatever legal issues has happened, fix all that, stay quiet, stay low for some time. I'm talking months, maybe even a year. And during that year, she needs to either write a book or get ready to do a sit-down interview in a year. For me, with scandals that big, again, a book is always a good thing. Sit-down interview, partner with an organization, lay low for at least a year, you're good. You're solid.
What were the best and worst parts about starting a business from scratch?
Best and worst parts. Well, the best part for me is being able to do what I love doing. I mean, I know that's so cliche, but really, like, that's the whole point of starting a business, is because you don't really start something unless you want to dedicate your, basically, most of your life to it. So the best part is being able to do what I love, but also only answering to myself. I mean, I think, yes, a lot of that means that you have long hours, long work hours, but at the end of the day, if you love what you do, it doesn't feel like work. So being able to answer to just myself, pick my own clients, pick the ones that like really resonate with me, that's been the best for me. Worst part, probably the worst part is not being able to stop. I think, again, as much as I love what I do, obviously there comes a point where you're just like, you get burnt out and you get exhausted from, you know, just working so much. And that was something I had to learn the first year of my business, was setting boundaries, right? Because I would answer emails at like 11 o'clock at night, and I would be okay with that. And then clients kind of took advantage of the fact that I was available 24/7. So I had to start putting boundaries up and really like say, okay, you know what, like you can't be doing this, or else, you know, by year, like whatever, you're going to burn out.
What was the hardest part about setting up your own business just at the very beginning?
The hardest part I would say was believing in myself in terms of what I charged my clients. Money is such a sensitive topic, especially for women. I think we have a hard time negotiating our own value, like what we can offer. And that's not just women in business, but that's women who are career driven or are in a career where they want to ask for a raise. I think we have a hard time asking and actually like validating to ourselves that yes, we do deserve what we're getting paid for. So it's very, very hard for me at first to stand up for my own values and stand up for what I was worth, because I was afraid people were gonna say no, or people were going to go with someone else and then I would be left with no clients. But over time, like you start to realize, you know what, like I actually have like good value to offer these people. So if they don't wanna pay for that, it's not worth it for me to even work with them. And that took a long time for me to get to that point of confidence. And it took a long time for me to get to that point of just believing that I do deserve the amount that I'm charging. And now I'm like unapologetic about it. I'm like, listen, this is how much I cost. This is my fee. Take it or leave it. If you don't want to work with me, then clearly we're not meant to work together. And the thing is, like, when you have someone who respects you and pays you for what you value yourself at, you're going to have the best relationship with this person. Whereas I've had people in the past that I've discounted myself to the point of, I'm like, why am I even doing this? And they treated me like crap. They didn't respect me. They were the hardest clients to work with. And again, it's because it's you let people treat you the way you tell them to treat you, right? So like for me, I think discounting myself meant that these people were like, oh, well, she's a pushover, so it's fine. And so now I'm like, nope, none of that anymore. And it takes time, but you get to that point and it feels great once you get to that point.
What's the craziest thing you have been asked to put on a rider as a publicist?
God, the craziest thing? I don't even know. I'm trying to think. I guess the crazy, like, what do you mean? Like a demand of some sort?
Yeah. So to anyone who doesn't know what a rider is, whenever a celebrity goes to an interview or to a concert venue and they have a green room or a lounge somewhere for them to sit, their rider stipulates all the things that they want in a hotel room. And we've always heard crazy stories. I think J-Lo is the one who always demanded like everything be white, white candles, white sheets, white snacks. So I don't know. Well, have you seen anything like that?
Well, the example I used earlier in terms of the white M&Ms, I've had that happen before. I'm just trying to think of like the worst one I've ever seen. I think probably that, to be honest with you, the white M&M situation, because I was just like, first of all, where do I even get white M&Ms? Who makes white M&Ms?
I was going to ask that. Those don't even come in the bag.
I know. So like, I mean, I was an intern back then. So to me, I was like, what do I do? And I think, I can't even remember what we ended up doing. I think you order them specially made of some, I don't even remember. I think that was one of the craziest ones. I've been very lucky in terms of my clients have been very good, except for that one. but you have those things where you get asked to like only have certain types of food, certain types of like snacks. Those are not really a big deal. It's fine, but I'm going to say the white M&M thing was pretty, pretty weird. Oh, actually, no, I have another one. I'm not going to name names because I can't, but there is one client I worked with. It could only be photographed like straight on. You can't photograph them on the side. So like I had to tell all the media and I had to tell all the photographers at that event that this person can only be photographed face on and not on their sides. That was very hard. Because that's first outrageous. Of all, the media are like, what? Oh my God, yes. And I can't believe I forgot this one example, but like, yeah, that was interesting because I had, again, like you feel so silly talking to the media. I mean, like, so you can only photograph this person on like front on, not on the side. So that was really weird. That would probably be one of the top ones, I would say.
As just a regular person, I find those things crazy. But if I had to be honest, like if I became a huge star, I would make crazy fucking demands all the time. I'd be like, no one's allowed to look directly at me. We're going to get into some real stuff now. Not that your business isn't real.
You're like,
not that our livelihoods
your in business media. Is fake. This is,
these don't matter. Our careers don't matter.
Yes.
We're moving on from that. They do matter. Our careers are up top. You have recently been through a breakup.
Yes, I have.
And I mean, everybody goes through that at least once in their lives. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, they're not fucking prepared for the real world.
Oh, no, they're not. They are screwed. I'm telling you now.
They're not going to do well down the road. No. But the toughest part, I think anyway, is always right at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
So your beginning of it, what did you do to get through? And especially in a pandemic when you can't go out and party with your girls, you can't have a large number of people come over and visit you and bring you stuff.
Gosh, yes.
What did you do to get through those first few days?
I mean, I'm still going through it, really. I mean, the fact that I'm actually standing here talking to you on this podcast was something I didn't think I could ever do again. I think when it happened, we were still at stage one. So I was screwed. Who was I going to see? I was very lucky though, in terms of just, we live in a time now where technology is so accessible. I mean, we have phones, we have Zoom, we have Skype, we have all that. So I literally filled my days with like Zoom calls. Like I know you and I had Zoom calls, Skypes and FaceTimes with people. That really helped me, texting with people. I also went on like social distance walks with some friends who live close by. So that really, really helped me. I think everyone deals with breakups differently. I mean, I'm the type of person where I need people around me. I need to be talking to people. I need to be just around good energy. So for me, the number one thing that really helped me get through it was talking to friends. But I also spent a lot of time just like looking inwards and like healing and reading self-help books and listening to podcasts. Those were huge for me. You know, this is obviously an ongoing thing where I'm still healing, I'm still figuring things out. But the number one thing that I took away from all of this was just learning to be by myself again. You know, it was a very long-term relationship. So being by myself again after all those years was very, very new to me. And I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can survive this. And now looking back, like it's been, I think it's been almost 3 months now. Now looking back, I'm like, wow, I never really had a chance to be on my own. So now is the time to really figure out like, okay, what is it that Amira wants out of her life? Like, what do I want? What do I need? And that in itself is hard. And I think as a woman, it's very hard for us to put ourselves first because obviously like we always want to take care of others. And, you know, this is the first time where I'm like, oh my God, I need to take care of myself. So in a pandemic, what do? I mean, yeah, you see your friends. Now that we're in stage three, I've been trying to do more things that are kind of out of my comfort zone. So like I went and took a dance class at a park the other day. That was really fun. It was super fun. You know, like meeting with people and meeting new people, that those kinds of things, like those are all things that like you just find ways to do more self-care and things that make you happy, that makes your soul happy. I've been reading a lot of books. I've just been doing things to just put myself first. And for the first time in my life, I'm like, okay, it's just me, myself, and I, and have to figure out a way to make myself happy.
You got the haircut. You got the tan. You look amazing.
Thanks, girl. That's, you know, it's so cliche. It is so cliche. But when a girl gets the breakup haircut, watch out, people.
Who's your go-to breakup queen of song?
Well, right now, Dua Lipa. I didn't even realize how many breakup songs this woman had until like I listened to her songs again. And I was like, oh my God. Selena Gomez was my number one when I first was going through everything because her album was, there were two songs about, you know, her breakup with Justin. And when I was listening to the songs, I was like, oh my God, girl, I get you now. Like, I feel your pain.
Yeah.
So Selena Gomez, obviously Adele, obviously.
That's mine. Yeah. I was going to say like all three Adele albums.
Yes. Dua Lipa. And there was a fourth. Oh, Beyonce. That's it.
Obviously. That's when you get into the empowerment stage.
Oh my God. Kelly Clarkson. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah.
I think I listened to that song like on loop one day and I was just like, I was going through like a roller coaster of emotions and I just had it on loop and I'm like, oh, Kelly, you're my girl. Man, heartache is, it's not a joke. Like you literally feel like you're dying. Like I know it sounds so dramatic, but like this is my first heartbreak to be honest. And like, it feels like literally like someone is ripping your heart out. Like that's what it feels like. But then you get strong. And then you're fine and then you're gonna be okay. And I think that's the part that like is hard to imagine when you're right in the middle of the storm that you're never gonna be okay. But like I can tell you that I am proof that you are gonna be okay, that you will get through it, even though it feels like, oh my God, I'm dying, I'm never gonna get through this. But you'll be fine. And as long as you have yourself and as long as you love yourself and you're okay with yourself, you're gonna be just fine. And whoever comes along, you're gonna be okay with or without them.
Yeah. And moving forward, anything else that comes down the pipeline, you're going to be like, you think this is going to bother me? You think this is going to knock me off? Come on.
That's it. You know, it's like if you get through something like this, you're like, I can get through anything. I'll be okay.
Tell me one thing you allowed yourself to indulge in the early dark days of breakup. Were you like ice cream girl? Were you like screaming into a pillow girl?
I can't say I was the girl that like ate ice cream and like ate chocolate and like whatever, but I was the girl who was literally on Zara's website and Amazon and all the clothing stores you can imagine and just bought clothes up, even though I had nowhere to wear them. I was like, whatever, I'm just gonna
shop. Who does?
It's fine. And yeah, and so like I'm looking at my bank statement like 2 months later and I'm like, what the heck did I buy? Who am I? Yeah, so I shopped. That was mine. That was my kryptonite.
That's my kryptonite, and I can't even blame it on anything. I'm over here just like,
it happens. happen.
The pandemic is still really bumming me out. 5 months later, I still haven't learned how to cope without my credit card close at hand.
Yeah, right? I mean, we all have our thing. It's fine.
Exactly.
We're feeding the economy. I mean, the economy is at its worst right now. We need to help it.
Exactly. Zara needs all the help it can get.
Yes, it does.
Zara and H&M are really struggling through this pandemic. So
I need to help them.
Yes. That's sarcasm for anyone who can't hear it.
Yeah, seriously. Also, I ordered Uber Eats like, I think 2 weeks in a row. I did not cook at all for 2 weeks and just Uber Eats for 2 weeks. It was a disaster. Like, I spent so much money on just Uber Eats.
If you add on to your list, like, that you were just in the same leggings and sweatshirt for a couple months, you're literally just listing everything that I'm doing during this pandemic. There's no heartbreak. Nothing bad has happened to me, but I'm doing all the things that sad girls in movies do.
Yeah, I was in leggings and I was in pajamas for a long time.
Same.
And like, no makeup, no nothing. I mean, yeah, I mean, we were in a pandemic, so whatever. But like, I really like, it was a disaster for some time. And I remember just looking at myself in the mirror one day and I'm like, girl, snap, you gotta snap out of this. You cannot be like this. So sometimes you just need to have a good look at yourself in the mirror and just be like, oh, what's happening?
Shout out where people can follow you.
So they can follow me on Instagram. Amira Devera is just my full name. And then my company's Instagram is Project4PR. Four is spelled out F-O-U-R.
Very, very nice. It was so awesome talking to you. I feel like we're just letting people listen to like a random phone conversation that we had.
This is literally how we talk. Like, I don't understand.
This was just a phone call to a friend to check in. And I'm turning it into a podcast.
I love it so much. Thank you for having me again. I'm so proud of you. I can listen to you talk for hours. You are the best. And I'm so honored that you had me as a guest. I mean, come on.
Of course. I mean, you are the owner of a booming business and I'm so proud of you. And I want to support the beautiful, amazing women in my life. And you're one of them.
I love you.
I love you too. Everybody has been listening to Bee's Nest Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you come back. We had Amira Devera, publicist, entertainment publicist, PR maven, boss babe. This was a great show. I think so. Don't care if you don't. Still looking for sponsors. Whatever. Whatever it is. I'll freaking hawk it. I don't care. Thanks for listening. You'll hear me soon.